Well, I'm a gambling man.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I know I've wagered and lost on the air before, but this time I'm really confident. I'll bet a bagel and coffee the Federal Reserve is done cutting interest rates for the year. At a speech last night, Chairman Ben Bernanke said two things. First, he reiterated the Fed's concern about inflation. But he also said the U.S. economy is probably not headed for a substantial downturn now. It appears the Fed is ready to wait things out and might even raise interest rates sometime soon. That's the way the stock markets seem to be reading it. And overseas today, there were other issues. China tightening credit, for one. In Shanghai, shares plunged almost 8%. Elsewhere in Asia, the Hong Kong market fell about 4%. The Nikkei was down 1%. European shares are off a fraction so far. The Dow is at 12,280 after gaining 70 points yesterday. But the NASDAQ dropped 15. Oil price check, $134 a barrel. Today, the Senate votes on a bill designed to force oil prices down. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton explains.
It's not just drivers who feel the pinch when gas hits $4 a gallon. Politicians have to explain what they're doing to ease prices at the pump. Today, Senate Democrats are trying to do just that. Their bill would tax oil companies and grant federal authority to sue OPEC nations in U.S. courts. But not everyone's buying it.
A lot of this stuff is just PR. You know, it's not going to happen.
Robert Ebels with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says there's little chance in an election year of passing any meaningful energy policy. He says that makes this week's proceedings more about political gamesmanship than problem solving.
You can point your finger in all directions and probably find some reason to explain why the price of a barrel of oil went up as much in one day as what a barrel of oil sold for 10 years ago.
Ebel says one thing is certain to come out of the debates. Democrats and Republicans will blame each other as both parties carve out energy platforms for the fall election. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Congress has passed a law designed to stop terrorists from using container ships as part of an attack. But a report out of Europe this morning says that law is bad for the global trade business. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Under the new law, every shipping container entering the U.S., and there are 20 million of them a year, will be scanned at the port of departure. The image will be sent to the U.S. for checking. Congress passed the measure out of concern that terrorists might use containers like a Trojan horse. But a report by a French university out today says there's a downside. The measure, which comes into force in 2012, could delay shipments, hitting global growth without improving security. Andrew Bounds of the Financial Times.
Now is not the time, people say, when we have fears of protectionism, fears of slowdown, the credit crunch is biting. Now is not the time to put more obstructions in the way of world trade and world growth.
Opponents of the measure also complain it shifts the cost of American security onto foreign ports, but supporters argue that everyone benefits from avoiding the damage to world trade that would follow a successful seaborne terrorist attack. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. By Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement.
Let's flash back to the year 2006. Remember the stories from the housing market? People flipping homes like pancakes, buying up condos in Florida before the cement was dry. Seems like a long time ago. But that's still what the Chinese real estate market is like now. Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
The first thing you have to know about buying homes in China is that traditionally, buyers used to pay the full price of the house, all at once. Seriously, bags of cash on the settlement table. But young entrepreneurs here, men and women in their 20s and 30s, are starting to catch on to the whole credit thing. Jean Peng bought 3 apartments last year. She paid half in cash and borrowed the rest from the bank. Peng says it was a good investment.
但是中国的股票今年的前景非常不好。
Since the beginning of this year, my stocks have fallen 40%, whereas the value of my real estate has increased 30%. So I prefer to put my money in real estate.
In the last couple of years, housing prices rose so fast, more than 40% in major cities last year. It created urgency among people who may not have considered buying a home to break into the market. Wei Wei is 26 and bought his first house when he was 22.
对啊，当时是，当时是呀。
At the time, prices were cheap. Now we won't be able to afford it.
He put 50% down in 2004. When he bought his second house a year and a half ago, he put 20% down. So many people started doing this that it made China's central bank nervous. After all, this movie is still playing out in the U.S. and Europe. So China's central bank raised interest rates 6 times last year and now requires buyers to put 40% down on second homes. And how do these young, small-time investors have so much cash on hand? For one, they have good salaries by Chinese standards. And unlike young college-educated Americans, they don't have student loans to pay off. And there's no stigma to living with your parents, so many do, including 28-year-old Michael Wang.
I have been staying with them ever since I came back from college abroad. I'll probably stay until I get married.
He's not worried that living with mom and dad will make him appear uncool to potential mates. In China's dating world, a nice real estate portfolio makes you hotter property. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
If you'd like to take the Marketplace Morning Report with you while you're on the elliptical or what have you, you can check out the details online, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.